presenter, James Rose. He's speaking on pre-emergent tolerance of cotton technologies to alter herbicides. I'll stand up for that
briefly. All right, thank you for the introduction. As you can see here is a picture of our trial, actually, that I'll be talking about today. And what we're wanting to look at with these new technologies coming to market, being Enlist and Xtend particularly, is how do they react to an application of an auxinic herbicide in a pre-emergent setting. And as you can see here in the picture, there is some difference. You can see as there's stand failure in parts of it with that big blank spot in the middle of it. Which leads me to my title, Pre-Emergence Tolerance of Cotton Technologies to Auxin Herbicides. An introduction, as most of y'all know, a group 4 herbicide, or auxin herbicide, as defined by the Weed Science Society of America, affects cell wall plasticity and nucleic metabolism. And below, you can see, as many of y'all have seen before, what happens to a cotton plant that is not tolerant to either one of these chemicals, being 2,4-D on the left or dicamba on the right. And you can see the classic symptomology of twisting, cupping, and epinasty of the two. These new cotton technologies, as I mentioned, Enlist and Xtend, are tolerant to either 2,4-D or dicamba. The Enlist being tolerant to 2,4-D, the Xtend being tolerant to dicamba, as well as glufosinate and glyphosate for both of these technologies. With these new technologies, we'll be having some new herbicide formulations. For the Enlist, they'll be called the Enlist Duo, which is a premix of 2,4-D choline and glyphosate. However, there is no label for this product yet. And recently labeled are the Xtend Max with Vapor Grip Technology, which is a standalone dicamba chemical, and Ingenia, which is also a standalone dicamba product. However, these products for 2017 cannot be tank mixed with any other product, such as dicamba or dual magnum. And these products are also claimed to have a lower risk of volatility. Group 4 is divided into multiple herbicide families. These families or classes are based on the location of the carboxylic acid moiety and the type of aromatic group. And there's 5 of them for group 4. The first one being the phenoxyalkanoic acids, which is 2,4-D, the benzoic acids, which is dicamba, and the pyridine carboxylic acids, such as triclopyr, clopyrrolid, aminopyrrolid, and fluroxypyr, and the quinolone carboxylic acids, such as quinchlorac. And the last group is the picolinate acids, which are two products you may or may not be familiar with, which would be called Loyant and Arylex. So since group 4 is most commonly used as a post-herbicide, why should we discuss a pre-application? And it's been noted by Meyer and others in 2015 that 2,4-D and dicamba are able to apply some short-lived residual control of weeds such as palm or amaranth. And this is also indicated in the plantback intervals that you see on the labels. Something such as dicamba being 21 days or 2,4-D being 28 days. Where you have products such as Milestone that's up to 2 years on the plantback interval based on the soil series present. So for this research, we came up with a hypothesis that cotton containing a trait for tolerance to either 2,4-D or dicamba will be less sensitive to other synthetic auxin herbicides when applied in a pre-emergence application. So for this, our objective was to evaluate the sensitivity of these new products Enlist and Roundup Ready Bolgar 2 Xtend Flex Cotton to a pre-emergent application of auxinic herbicides. So for this, we planted 3 different varieties, a Stoneville 4946 Glytol Liberty Link, which I'll refer to as Glytol, a Delta Pine Bolgar 2 Xtend Flex for our Xtend technology, and an experimental variety that was sent to us by Dow for the Enlist cotton. We did this research at 2 locations in Arkansas, the Lawn Man Cotton Research Station near Marianna and the Roar Research Station near Roar. Our experimental design, we set it up as a split-split plot design with the whole plot factor being rate. We had 2 rates of 1x and a 1/16 x rate. However, I'll only be talking on the 1x rate. The subplot factor being herbicide, we had 7 different chemicals and an untreated check. The sub-subplot factor was the technology. We had the Glytol, as I said, the Enlist, and the Xtend. We conducted 4 applications on 2-row plots, applied all applications at 12 gallons an acre with the Mudmaster sprayer rig, as you see to the right. For our analysis, we conducted an ANOVA with Fisher's protected LSDs with the mean separated at alpha 0.05. Our data collection for this, we conducted visual ratings for injury each week for 28 days after planning, and the untreated check served as the standard for any injury, with zero being no injury seen and 100% being complete plant death. Biomass and plant heights were also taken at 21 days after application, and the untreated plots also served as the standard for any reductions in biomass or plant height. So looking at what treatments we actually did apply, we applied 2,4-D amine, Clarity, Grandstand, Stinger, Milestone, Star Rain, Ultra, and Facet. You may be wondering where we came up with the rates for this. Since it's not labeled for these crops, we used a rate that would be representative of this if it was labeled for this based off of other crops these chemicals are labeled for. Since this is a pre-trial, we felt it was important to show y'all the weather and irrigation data for each location. Looking at this, at Mariana, we had a small rain event 2 days after application, not much significance there. As you can see, we did have to irrigate 3 days after the planting and application. We did use furrow irrigation at Mariana, where we wetted it until the beds were wet so the chemical could move in contact with the seed. And at 14 days, we did have a significant rain event. Looking at Roar, kind of a similar deal. We had a small rain event 2 days after, and then we irrigated 7 days after plant and application. Except at Roar, we used overhead pivot irrigation compared to the furrow irrigation we used at Mariana. Looking at our injury 14 days after application at the 1x rate, I'll go ahead and set up this chart for you. On the y-axis, we have our percent injury from 0 to 100. And on the x-axis, we have what treatment was applied, 2,4-D, Clarity, Grandstand, Star Rain, Stinger, Milestone, and Facet. And then the legend for the chemical, for the seed technologies, we have the glycol as indicated by a green bar, Enlist, which would be indicated by a light blue bar, and Extend, which would be indicated by a checkered bar. You may ask why I chose to use these colors. That's because it's representative of the Flight of the Technology program that the University of Arkansas highly promotes. The glycol being a Liberty link, so we use the green for that. Looking here first at the in the glycol varieties, you see there was injury seen by every application of a chemical to these varieties. There was no tolerance seen. Looking here at the Enlist, a very similar story. There was injury seen, a significant amount of injury seen on every application except for where 2,4-D was applied, which was expected. And the same thing being seen here, no statistical difference in injury being seen. However, there was some numerical reductions in injury seen in comparison to like the Grandstand on the Enlist versus the Extend, with the Extend only providing tolerance to the dicamba application. And as I said, there was only two that provided complete tolerance, and that was to the respective technologies. And at 21 days, this chart set up the exact same way. We had a very similar story here, some reduction numerically in injury, which was expected being a further out application, rating at the timing. With 2,4-D only being not injurious to the Enlist technology, and Clarity not providing any injury to the dicamba technology Extend. With the greatest injury being seen at Milestone, where we did have several plots that were 100% complete plant death, and others that had just a couple plants that did emerge and grow very slowly. Now moving into the biomass, this graph is set up pretty much the same, other than the scale goes to 120% because we did have some that yielded more than the untreated. Looking at this, the glycol variety, you know, as the greater the injury was, such as on the Milestone treatment, there was less biomass being produced, which was expected to be seen. The Star Rain and Grandstand did produce the highest amount of biomass numerically. Looking at biomass produced by the Enlist technology, you may note that 2,4-D application produced the highest amount of biomass, as well as the Star Rain producing a statistically higher amount than the other ones, and Grandstand being right there with it numerically. This is similar to the findings of Wright and others in 2010, that Grandstand and Star Rain would see a reduced amount of injury or biomass reduction in a technology where 2,4-D was tolerant to it. Looking at the Extend technology, you can see that similar story here with Clarity providing the least amount of biomass reduction, which is not statistically different than the untreated check. And looking at the heights data, this graph set up the same way from 0 to 120%. Those plots where there was more injury, there was a reduction in plant height, which was expected. The greatest being with Milestone, and the least being with those applications of Grandstand and Star Aim. Looking at Enlist technology with this, it's kind of the same thing here. The 2,4-D provided a higher amount of height of the plant compared to the untreated check. And the same thing with the Extend technology, where that technology provided tolerance, there was not a reduction in plant height. So that brings us to some conclusions. As I said, the Milestone or Amenopyralid treatments did result in quite a large amount of plant death or stand failure. And here on the left side, I have an untreated plot, and on the right side, I have those plots that were treated with Milestone. And as you can see, in the Glytol, Enlist, and Extend, there was very few plants present, if any at all, in these plots. And the plants that were there were less than 2 inches in general. So some conclusions that we can draw, Glytol was injured by all the auxin herbicides that we applied at either rate, the 1/16th or the 1X, even though I'm not showing the data for the 1/16th. And Enlist cotton, Star Rain Ultra, Grandstand, or 2,4-D were the only treatments where there was not a reduction in biomass compared to the untreated check. And as you can see on the bottom, here's some pictures of that evidence with that, the Glytol variety being on the left, the far right being Extend, and Enlist in the middle. And as you can see, the starring treatment did not produce any injury to the crop. And some other conclusions, the Extend cotton technology only exhibited tolerance to the dicamba application, and the 1/16th X-rate resulted in a general reduction in injury that was observed, which is consistent with that reduced rate. However, as I said, I did not show the data for this. Last conclusions, the Enlist technology also displayed complete tolerance to 2,4-D and partial tolerance to Star Rain Ultra and Grandstand, where there was no significant reduction in biomass being observed, which is also considered consistent with Wright and others in 2010. And the off-label pre-emergent application of most synthetic auxin herbicides to cotton is highly likely to cause severe plant injury or plant stand failure. I apologize for the picture being over some of the text. Future research, further explore potential crop tolerance and herbicide programs with Star Rain Ultra and Grandstand and the Enlist cotton technology. And also, if you want to see what the post-emergence data on this is, I do have a poster that will be on display this afternoon for that. And look at these applications also in the Enlist and Extend soybean variety, since these will be on the market before too long. And at this time, I will take any questions. Yes, sir. The question was, did at either location did the cotton receive a rain event before the a rain or irrigation event prior to the plant emerging? And the answer to that is yes. There was either rain or irrigation at both of them to where it would be activated. Yes, sir. The question is, do I think soil type will play into this? The data that I have on it between these two locations, I haven't gotten the soil data back on these, but from what I've seen, it does not really seem to have much effect on it. But I'm still working on some of that data for the rest of that. The question is, can I speak to where some of the variation in my grass came from? What we looking at this is it was across 3 site years, one location in 2015 and 2 in 2016. And I feel that some of the variation in this is just with it being a pre-emergence trial, just differences in the plants coming up themselves, just visually being able to see some of the injury on those small cotyledons and stuff like that.
Any other questions?